Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please read with me, obviously, the title of our sermon today, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Our text, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As I mentioned earlier, our Hymns That Preach sermon series concludes today. I hope you've enjoyed this series as I have. Today we look at a powerful hymn written in the early 1800s. My Hope is Built on Nothing Less was written by a man named Edward Mote. He was born in London in 1797, and Edward Mote and I have a number of things in common. In his early years, Edward Mote was raised in a non-Christian home in which a Bible could not be found, and so was I. Edward Mote's family was quite poor, living on government assistance. So did mine. God used a family tragedy to capture my heart and soul and move me toward the ministry, and he also used godly people to bring me to Jesus and later my family, and he did the same thing for Edward Mote. As a young boy, because of the tragedy of their family's poverty, their family did something that Herb Besch's family did for him when he was a young boy. His parents sent him to live with a master carpenter, a cabinet maker, to become his apprentice. But God had a plan behind this because this man was a devoted Christian and deeply influenced Edward Mote's life. He was baptized at age 16. He also became a skilled cabinet maker and had his own shop. When Edward Mote was 37, he confesses in his biography that he could not get some words out of his heart and his mind. These words became the hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. He first shared these words in this hymn at the bedside of a dying woman. Soon this hymn became so popular, thousands of copies were printed, and soon thereafter, Mote wrote at least 95 of his own hymns and published his own hymnal. At age 55, Edward Mote felt a call into the ministry. It made him a pastor of a Baptist church in Sussex, England. He served there until he was 77 years old and died in his pulpit while he was still serving his congregation. At his funeral, his people who loved their pastor dearly sang his most famous hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Let's take a look at this beautiful hymn and the message that it surely preaches. Verse 1. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. My friends, these words remain true and trustworthy today. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read again, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus shed blood on the cross, forgives our sins, and makes us righteous. Jesus knew no sin. He was sinless. But upon that cross, he took upon himself your sin and my sin, and there he paid for it. And in exchange for our sin, we got his righteousness. What an exchange. This is our hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dear Lord in heaven, may this continue to be the message proclaimed from this pulpit. The message proclaimed in every Bible class, Sunday school, ESL, preschool, mom and tots drop in, every board and voters meeting, everything we do to serve our community, every future plan of this congregation, and everything we do, nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All other ground is sinking sand. As the refrain of this hymn tells us again and again, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's take a moment and think about that phrase. All other ground is sinking sand. There is nothing in this world that will last forever. Please hear me again. For far too many people in our world, and perhaps you and I, spend too much time building our hopes on things of this world, but there is nothing in this world that will last forever. Nothing that you can always count on. It is indeed all sinking sand. Tell the people of Houston, Texas about that. Youth and health and a full head of hair are here today and gone tomorrow. Your youth, your health are fleeting. Our loved ones age and they die. Finances and possessions are here today and gone tomorrow. People, friendships, relationships change. Things that I used to think were so important that I could not live without, the older I get, they're beginning to fade away with importance. I have finally given up my dream of playing second base for the New York Yankees at the age of 63. Now, yes, we are to enjoy and thank God for all the wonderful things in our lives, but they cannot be what defines our lives or gives them lasting hope and purpose. When everything is stripped away, only one thing remains for all eternity. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other things are sinking sand. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 7. Everyone who hears my words and acts upon them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains, floods, and winds came, but that house did not fall because it was built on the rock. But the foolish man built his house on the sand. And the rains, floods, and wind came, and it fell, and great was the fall of that house. Verse 2 of the hymn says, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Old-fashioned words, timeless message. When darkness veils his lovely face refers to times in our lives when things happen to us that we just cannot figure out. What is God accomplishing for us is just not clear to us. This happens to every one of us. St. Paul spoke of it this way in 1 Corinthians 13:12. He said, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I only know in part, but then I shall know fully. Paul tells us that God is at work in the lives of those whom he loves, and that's you. Even if we cannot clearly see what he's doing, there will be a day when we stand before and beside our Savior in heaven, that everything will be made clear to us. But until that day, as the hymn says, we rest on his unchanging grace. This is especially true when times of pain and suffering come. What the hymn calls, in every high and stormy gale. Even though especially in these times, we can rest secure in our Lord's care. The hymn says it, in these times, my anchor holds within the veil. Verse 3 of the hymn says this: His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the raging flood. When every earthly prop gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Again, as in verse 1, we're here reminded of something we need to learn every day of our lives. Earthly props, things in this life we depend on to give us hope and strength, will give way. They're going to let us down. This is especially true in times of crisis. In the raging flood, says the hymn. But we can count on our Lord and what He has done for us. And in this third verse, it's said in three different ways. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the raging flood. Psalm 73 puts it this way. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? Besides Thee, I desire nothing on earth. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The fourth and final verse of the hymn, of Edward Mote's hymn, looks to that day, to Judgment Day, to Jesus' second coming, and declares these words as the hymns wrap up. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, clothed in His righteousness alone, redeemed to stand before the throne. On that day, on that glorious day, you and I and every person who says with humble trust, on Christ the solid rock I stand, will be dressed in a brand new suit of clothes. A new suit of clothes. The hymn mentions clothed in His righteousness alone. In his vision of heaven, St. John the Apostle in Revelation 7 talks about clothing too. Listen to what he says. Those who are clothed in white robes, who are they? Where have they come from? These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Clothed in His righteousness, washed robes made white in the blood of the Lamb. This is the way the Bible describes forgiven sinners. Sinners like you and me, who because of our rebellion and disobedience deserve Almighty God's wrath. But instead, sinners upon whom, for Jesus' sake, God has had mercy. People like you and me, for whom God sent Jesus to die on the cross, to shed His blood for our sins. Jesus, who shed blood, washes our sins. Who shed blood makes us righteous. Who shed blood makes us clothed in righteousness. Who shed blood turns our dirty rags of sin into white robes of glory. And because of that, says this hymn, on Judgment Day, we are redeemed to stand before the throne. We end this sermon on this glorious hymn with one last look at the refrain. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I brought a rock with me this morning. It's a heavy rock. It's a very special rock. This rock has been around. It has served a number of purposes in a number of places for a number of occasions. And upon this rock, it is written, Ebenezer. Ebenezer, 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Ebenezer is a Hebrew word from the Old Testament, built on two different words, Eben, rock, and Ezer, help. It can be translated, a rock of help.
Whoa.
That woke you up if you were drifting away. In 1 Samuel 7:12, we find the account of when the Lord delivered Israel from the attack of the mighty Philistine army. To celebrate and remember this deliverance, the prophet Samuel set up in a riverbed a huge stone memorial. Here's what the text says. Then Samuel took a large stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." I first used this rock in 1992 as a part of an ordination sermon for a seminary student of mine who became a pastor in Edmonton. The student was the Reverend Kwon Soo Kim, who had asked me to preach for his special event. "Ebenezer, the Lord is my rock of help." Then I used this rock as a part of a sermon for the surprise 25th wedding anniversary service for Pastor Kim and his wife. The service held at Faith Lutheran Church in Surrey, where he had become the new pastor. His children flew me out as a surprise from Edmonton to preach at this service. "Ebenezer, the Lord is my rock of help." Then, I'm taxing your memories now. You might recall if you were here. Then Pastor Kim used this rock at his sermon at my installation at Trinity Lutheran Church on September 9th, 2007, when I became your pastor. "Ebenezer, the Lord is my rock of help." Then, I used this rock as a part of a funeral service. A funeral service at Faith Lutheran Church in Surrey for the funeral of Pastor Kim, who died quite young and unexpectedly. "Ebenezer, the Lord is my rock of help." And now I see this same rock every day in my church office, just down the hallway from where you're sitting, to remind me, the Lord is my rock, Ebenezer, my rock of help. My friends, Jesus is your Ebenezer, your rock of help. Dear friends, beloved of the Lord, children of the Heavenly Father, whatever you are facing, whatever you will face, He is your rock of help, your Ebenezer. We join the prophet Samuel in declaring, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." We join Thomas Mote in the refrain of his wonderful hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Say that with me, won't you? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In the name of Jesus, amen.